numbers told the story they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Guilty as charged. Thursday morning. Good Thursday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. Gil Alexander, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Gay Plus, iHeartRadio, and of course, the YouTube TV. Jeff Parlay, producer number 8, is here as well. Jeffrey, good morning to you, sir.
We have football today, Gil.
We have football. Thursday night football. We'll talk about the Panthers and the Texans tonight, the Davis Mills-led Texans, and whether or not you want to risk a survivor selection on Carolina. I'm struggling with it myself. Struggling, to quote the great Joe Namath. We shall see. We'll talk about that. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted hour number 2. Paul Carr on the Premier League. He's also a Dolphins fan. We'll get his thoughts on the Tua to Jacoby Brissett transition, at least for this game. You and I will, yesterday we went through the last undefeated team market in the National Football League over at DraftKings. Today we'll look at the last winless team market and where the bets ought to go. Oh, and Jason Weingart will appear from under a cloud of smoke, just added, to talk about his baseball picks today. Yesterday on primetime, I was like, I got a Giants, Cardinals, Yankees parlay. Took Jason's Cardinals thoughts. The Giants are just undervalued every night for no particular reason. The Yankees ended up being the sweat. That got home. We'll get to Jason's picks today. And again, more on the Juan Soto train. How he's not the NL MVP, I will never know. Let's begin with Wes Reynolds, though. Let's bring him in. He is the Swiss Army Knife of VSiN, co-host of Long Shots, and really a co-host on every single show here. Can speak about any sport, about anything. And has agreed to join us for the Megapod today. Wes, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Gil, I'm excited. I feel like I'm moving up in the world to be a guest on the Megapod. So popping our cherry today. So excited to talk NFL with you.
So to speak, Wes. So to speak. Are you going to be at the D live? Are you going to join us live?
I am going to join you live.
Yes. I love it. I'm so glad to have you, man. Thank you for doing that. Before we talk Ryder Cup, I have to bring this up because Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network tweeted out here in the last 10, 15 minutes, maybe just this morning, that most of it, you're an Indianapolis guy, you're an Indy guy, Indiana guy, but the Indianapolis Colts, we've been talking all week, like, okay, Carson Wentz, game time decision, that still remains the case, but we've all sort of assumed, and you know what they say about assuming, Wes, that it's going to be Jacob Eason. Well, apparently, Brett Hundley has been getting the majority of the snaps in practice. What say you about that?
It's all going swimmingly in Indianapolis right now, Gil. And I was like you. I thought, okay, we'll see if Carson Wentz is going to go because I don't really like this Tennessee team. And I'm not that high on them. And look, they got the final 17 points last week to steal a win in Seattle. Derrick Henry, they were down 14, about 13 minutes left to go. Derrick Henry busts one, and then all of a sudden they're right back in the game, and they can stay kind of committed to that running game. So I give Tennessee credit for the win, but also Seattle credit for the loss. And going into this, I was a little worried about Indianapolis because, look, they've allowed 6 sacks. Everything is kind of put on Carson Wentz as like, okay, he's not the guy, he's not the guy. And that might very well be true, Gil. But this offensive line, which is supposed to be a strength of the team, has gotten their butts kicked through 2 games, both by Seattle and by the Los Angeles Rams. So, look, this is a spot where I'd love to back Indianapolis because you've got a desperate 0-2 division dog in a division game. This has been a road dominated series between these two teams, but now, right now, it's kind of that like stay away game for me because even if it's Hundley or Eason, I don't necessarily want to back Tennessee in this spot, but I'm a lot more lukewarm on the Colts than I was at the start of the day this morning.
Yeah, and it will be a game time decision, perhaps literally between Wentz or one of those two youngsters. The other thing that I was talking about on primetime last night, I think it was on numbers game as well, is I think the drop off from Tyrod Taylor to Davis Mills, and we've only seen a brief sample of Davis Mills, might be larger than the drop off from Wentz to either Eason or Hundley. Not because I think Hundley or Eason are better than Davis Mills, but I think Taylor to me is better than Carson Wentz. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I would agree with that assessment. You look at what Davis Mills did last week, and yeah, it's only basically a half of football. 8 of 18 for 102 yards, 1 touchdown, and also 1 interception in relief of Taylor. But I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you. And you know, I heard what you were talking about in the open about using Carolina as a survivor pick. I don't do the survivor contest, but I gotta say, Carolina not used to this role, and I was high on Carolina this year. I have them in the overseason wins. I bet them in the first 2 weeks, and I really think this defense is coming together. That's kind of the untold story. Everything is about Sam Darnold playing very well. CMC is back in the lineup, relatively healthy, still kind of doing what he did before he left last season with that injury. But you got a Carolina team that's a little bit unfamiliar mm-hmm. with this spot. You know, they get small home favorite against the rebuilding Jets. Now as a home dog, you beat the division champion. So I'd be careful laying the number. Now, this is probably something just for a numbers perspective that you have to probably include in your teasers here, where you can tease this from 8 down to 2, those old Wong teasers, which long term are going to be very profitable. And also the Texans are 2-0 this season against the spread. They did give fight last week at Cleveland, so I got to give this team credit. But probably the only way I'm going to play this tonight is maybe tied into a couple teasers again.
Yeah, I've teased it with Arizona already. I've teased them with Cleveland. I didn't lay the number either. And yeah, it's the road favorite of over 7 points, so it's not necessarily the traditional Wong teaser, but the numbers do reflect that those road favorites of over 7 actually in the more than near term, so not like super duper long term, but not really short term either, have actually been profitable as well. So not the worst sort of thing in the world, apparently, if you look at a certain batch of years, I think this century. But yeah, Survivor, I don't know. It's dicey. I'm contemplating it strongly. Let's go to the Ryder Cup, Wes. Let's start, before we even get into a bet here, two questions. One, to the person that says, hey, man, this thing just means more to Europe than it does to us, you would say what?
Well, I would say that they are correct in that assessment. I'm hopeful that that is going to change. And I think a large part of it, Gil, is just kind of finding that team leader in terms of performance on the course or whether it's in the team room. I think Team USA may have that because the guy amongst all the top players on Team USA, and we can talk about how this team is put together, 10 of the top 13 in the official world golf rankings, of course, are on Team USA. And the guy near the top, I think, that really gets it is Justin Thomas. I think amongst any other American player, he's the guy that really gets it. He's the guy that has the passion for the event. We saw his debut in Paris back in 2018. He went 4-1. He was one of the few shining lights on that team at Le Golf National that got beat pretty handily. They have a partner for him, his junior golf buddy, Jordan Spieth. We've all seen that photo about 10 million times every time they're in contention. Yep. Where they're in their little white hats and red shirt sitting against that wall. It's like, okay, we know they're junior golf besties, and that's going to carry over here because they're probably going to be partnered in every session, much like they were at the President's Cup in Melbourne and also the Ryder Cup. So Justin Thomas, I think, is kind of that guy. And then one guy that was kind of a bright spot in Paris actually went 2-1 in his matches and beat Tommy Fleetwood, who, by the way, was coming off that 4-0 run with Francesco Molinari, Mollywood, over there in Paris. And that was Tony Finau. Tony Finau is probably the guy on the team that every single member likes. And that's a rare occurrence, obviously, on this team when you consider the egos you have with the Brooks Koepka, with DeChambeau, a little bit with DJ, Patrick Cantlay, and Bryson, we know, got sideways a couple weeks ago at the BMW. But I do agree that this means more to Europe. I do like the American side here. I think that the course, even with the elements, which I think could play in the Europeans' favor, I think this really favors Team USA a little bit more. I like the partnerships. Like the direction Stricker is going. You're going to have Spieth and Thomas. You're going to have Cantlay and Schauffele pretty much exclusively together. It looks like they're going to go DJ and Morikawa, which I think is a very interesting group that could be very dangerous because DJ is such a good driver of the golf ball. Morikawa is the best with an iron in his hand in all of the world. So at least you've got three strong partnerships there.
Would you still bet Team USA at minus 190? I'm assuming you got it at a better number.
I got it at minus 170. I think if you don't want to lay that lumber or necessarily lay that price with Team USA, you can maybe go into the exact score market. And keep in mind, there's 28 total points here up for grabs in all these sessions for the Ryder Cup. So Team USA, like maybe 16-12 or 15.5-12.5. I don't think this is going to be a blowout, but I don't know if it's going to be like 14-14 or 14.5, 13.5. I think if Team USA is going to win, they're going to win by a few points. So that is probably the way I would look at it and try to maybe nail the exact score market.
Did you bet top point scorer either for the entire Ryder Cup or maybe on the U.S. or Europe side specifically?
I did on the European side. I went with Victor Hovland. And the reason I went with Victor Hovland is because I think he's one of the few guys on that European side that's going to play five matches. Rory McIlroy is going to be sent out for five matches. Even Rahm might not be sent out for five because he's getting over that illness. So he might go four. Sergio might go four. But I think Victor Hovland is going to light this. And I would expect that you're going to see him partner very early on with Rory McIlroy, kind of Team Cowan, because Pete Cowan is the swing coach for both Rory McIlroy and Victor Hovland. Rory spoke about, hey, I'd like to play with Victor Hovland in this. And we know Rory always seems to get sent out with a rookie in the first session. Andy Sullivan, Thomas Peters. Last time out in Paris, it was Tjorborn Olesen. So Victor Hovland's a Ryder Cup rookie, not your average Ryder Cup rookie, but Victor Hovland would certainly be the way I'd go in that market.
And we're showing him at 6-1, courtesy of BetMGM, proud sponsors of this program, A Numbers Game. Wes, I appreciate it. I'll see you in 2 hours, my man.
You bet, Gil. Thanks for having me.
Wes Reynolds, you can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one. Jeff, how much of your eye is going to be on the Ryder Cup while football is on this weekend? Truly.
Saturday will be on it. Sunday will be a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I'm with you. But bets are bets. Money is money. We'll come back. Jeff and I will tackle the last winless team in the NFL market. We'll do that next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season is here, in case you haven't noticed. It's time to download BetMGM Sports. It is Nevada's premier sports betting app. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Remember, have that state-issued ID. Norm MacDonald, may he rest in peace. You ever hear his ID joke? Where he would say, he was on Letterman once, he goes, you know, ID is a strange abbreviation. I stands for I, and D stands for identification. may he rest in peace. Well, he's genius. Those are the only types of Norm MacDonald jokes we could actually retell on air, but always clever. You never knew what that dude was going to say. Okay, Jeff, we want to get into this winless, last winless team market that's available at DraftKings. But before we do, let me just bring up again what I have brought up now, and Wes brought up as well. For those in Survivor, Carolina tonight were one of the other big favorites on Sunday. And again, with Circa, there are Christmas quirks that involve certain teams. Arizona leaping to mind. And then there's Denver sitting out there as double-digit favorites against your Jets. How do you feel as a Jets fan about the Jets going into Denver?
Not good.
Not a chance that they will win them?
No, I mean, there's a chance because I think Denver's played over their heads, but we're going against a whole boatload of history of Denver in their first game just covering the number in normal circumstance. Again, it's a 10-point line, but for Survivor, you just need them to win. Way I would power rank them this week, I would power rank at Cleveland as number one, actually. I have a hard time seeing Chicago going on the road with a rookie making his first start and winning that game in Cleveland. Then Denver,
except that Cleveland has a circa court.
I understand.
No, but I'm saying that they're also, you want to save Cleveland for Christmas.
Well, remember, this kind of goes to what we talked about.
Or Thanksgiving. I can't remember which
it was. Christmas.
Yeah.
If I were in the Survivor, there are three Christmas options. I would be okay with throwing that Green Bay Cleveland game out the window.
I already threw Green Bay out.
In the exclusive VSiN Survivor pool, which, again, I think you're miffed that you didn't get an invite.
No, not really. Couldn't have cared less.
But I use Green Bay, and I wouldn't have bothered. Like, I would have just thrown that game out the window, saved the San Francisco, Tennessee, and Arizona Indy games as my two options for Christmas. So that doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, no. No, I hope you win the Circa the VSiN Survivor contest. If it's a Denver versus Carolina mano a mano, you'd go with?
I'd rather have Denver.
Okay. I have Carolina, like I said, teased all over the place. Like, I have them with, again, the Browns. I have them with the Cardinals. I actually have one where I did some plus 350 one where I actually did four or five of them together. But it's all anchored with Carolina and a tease. So you would think that I would be confident about Carolina and Survivor, yet Survivor's a whole different brain cluster, if you will. All right, so yesterday Jeff and I did the team that will be undefeated the longest. Who will last the longest undefeated? And really the conclusion we came to, I think, if I can speak for both of us, Jeff, was Tampa Bay's probably the safe one, the short shot. If they can get by the Rams this week at 3-1, that's really the hurdle. And then they're probably the team in the driver's seat. But the long shot would actually be the Raiders, because if they can somehow beat the Jacoby Brissett-led Dolphins this week and the Chargers next week, then it is smooth sailing for them at 10-1. As far as the last winless team, and remember, there's seven undefeateds after two weeks of the season. There's seven winless and 18 1-1s. So here we go, Jeff. The seven last winless teams in the National Football League. The short shot, curiously, is the Detroit Lions, which I don't believe at all, quite frankly, at plus 125, these courtesy of DraftKings. I think they're feisty enough where I would never make that bet. And again, the beauty of these bets is they don't have to be season-long bets. There will be one team left standing, if you will, sooner than later, you would think. But then right after that, at plus 250, you have the Jaguars and the Jets. And for me, the Jaguars at plus 250 remains, if the Buccaneers were the most solid of the odds to be the last undefeated team, I think the Jaguars are currently the most solid short shot of the last winless teams. Jaguars at plus 250. And again, if we go to the Jaguars schedule, which is always key to this exercise, this week they are north of a touchdown underdog at home against Arizona. Then they're at Cincinnati, home Tennessee, home Miami, and a bye week. Remember, the bye week plays in here because it's like a free bingo square in this particular market because you're looking for the last winless team. So, hey, they get a week to just watch other teams try to win. Then after the bye week, it's at Seattle, home Buffalo, at Indy, home San Francisco. I don't see a win for these guys. I mean, even the Cincinnati game in a couple weeks next week is on the road. So to me, Jacksonville at plus 250 is still the best bet on that board. As far as the long shots, though, and by the way, Minnesota's 14-1. I wouldn't play that. That, to me, is not a bet. But as far as the longer shots go, the New York Giants are sitting out there. What's the Giants' number, Jeff, on this? Last winless team.
New York Giants currently at 15-2, which is plus 750.
Okay, let's throw up this graphic. This was beautifully done by Kelly Bidlin. So these are the remaining schedules, and thanks for throwing this up, guys, from DraftKings. So there you go. The Lions, the short shot. Look, the Lions have at Chicago, and they have a home game versus the Bengals in the next 5 weeks. That ain't the play. The Jets, yeah. You know, maybe they're good, but there's an at Falcons in there too. I still say the Jaguars, the second one there, plus 250, is the most stable short shot. Again, there's not a win, there's not a game there where they won't be a dog, and there's not a game there where they probably won't be a significant dog. Significant meaning even at Bengals, they'll be certainly more than a 3-point dog conservatively, maybe even more than 4.5. Colts, look, they have a home game against the Texans. I wouldn't bet that. Vikings at the bottom, as I said. Vikings capable. The Vikings could be 2-0 right now, and they have a home game against Detroit. They have games they can win. They could win this week, for goodness sake. The Falcons at plus 750. Okay, maybe, but I'm not convinced the Falcons are all that bad, as bad as these others. The Giants would be the equivalent to the Raiders in the other one as the long shot play here to me at plus 750 because it's home Falcons. They're a favorite in that game. If they lose that game, oh boy, at Saints, at Cowboys, home Rams, home Panthers. So to me, it's like it was the Bucks short shot and Raiders long shot in the last undefeated team. I think it's the Jaguars short shot here, Giants long shot, last winless. Agree? Disagree?
I'd rather have Atlanta than the Giants.
Really?
Yeah. I think that
they do have a bye in there.
So that's one of the factors. And that's why, honestly, the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Falcons are probably the three best bets on here because they have bye weeks week seven or earlier. Jacksonville is the week seven bye, the Jets and the Falcons. By the way, that Jet-Falcon game, Gil, that's your good old 9:30 a.m. London kick.
Oh, that's so, and that's the knockout game of this particular market.
That's the second potential knockout game of the Falcons in this. But watching these teams for the first 2 weeks, look, the Giants should win on Sunday. Keyword is should, because they, as we saw, they blew that game against Washington in pretty hilarious fashion. But Atlanta just looks lost on both sides of the ball so far. So it wouldn't shock me if Atlanta, that game in London is the one that actually determines the winner of this prop, or the biggest loser in the league, we should say, with this. So I would look to the Jets. I look to the Falcons. Jacksonville's good too, but I that game with Miami, that kind of scares me in this. I wouldn't be shocked if Jacksonville picks off Miami in a home game there.
The truth is, while it's fun to talk about both of these markets, it was fun to talk about the Raiders, the fact that we were even considering the Raiders, you know, so incredulous to us yesterday for the last undefeated team at 10-1, just because the number vis-a-vis their schedule was one of the best. And while it's cool to talk about either the Giants or the Falcons in this one at +750, the truth is that if we had DraftKings here in this jurisdiction and we could bet this, I think given the fact that this is again, it's not a year, it's not a season-long thing, so you don't have to have your money tied up, you don't think, for too much longer. These things have a way of settling quicker, sooner than later, I should say. The truth is, I think I would go Bucks in the last undefeated, thinking they'll beat the Rams this week. That's obviously the hurdle. But at 3-1, that's the only reason why they're 3-1, is because they have the Rams game this week. And then in this one, I think I would take the Jaguars at +250, Jeff, and just say, y'all show me differently. Prove me wrong. And if you can,
problem with that.
Yeah, prove me wrong. And if you can, tip of the cap. Jaguars +250 with Urban Meyer, head coach, already putting out social media statements of, hey, stick with us. We're going to get better. Don't worry. We're going to be okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to bet against you at +250 in this market. Good for everyone who has this market available to them at DraftKings. Enjoy both of those. We'll come back. We'll talk baseball. Jason Weingarten's never-ending picks in baseball. All good all the time, it seems, these days. And I gush openly about Juan Soto and why he's the NL MVP and why no one else is talking about it. We have no idea. It's numbers game. Back on a numbers game. Of course, you can get all that we do at VSiN.com/subscribe. I've told you about it before. I'll tell you again. Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. With your VSiN free trial today, get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parles, let's just go through a smattering of tweets from last night. So heading into last night's game, Anthony Castrovince tweeted out, Juan Soto could make an out in his next 45 plate appearances and still have the best on-base percentage in baseball. So do you know what Juan Soto did instead of going out and having an out in his next 45 plate appearances last night? He went double, homer, walk, RBI single, intentional walk. Jesse Doherty. I'm not someone who thinks that MVPs have to come from winning teams. I'm also not someone who votes on any awards. Just pointing out that that matters to a lot of people. And Juan Soto's case is getting louder and louder by the day. Mark Zuckerman. Make it 23 games this season with Juan Soto reaching base four times. Only six players have done it more times in modern history. George Herman Babe Ruth, four times. Barry Lamar Bonds, three times. Lou Gehrig, Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Wade Boggs. That's the list. Matt Weyrich. With his 130th walk and 150th hit tonight, Juan Soto joined Ted Williams in 1941 as the only players in MLB history to reach both those benchmarks in a season at 22 years old or younger. Oh, I got more, but I'll just read one more. Brendan Tuma. It has been 275 plate appearances for Juan Soto since the All-Star break. He's hitting .372 with a .538 OBP. In September, he has more extra base hits, 10, an intentional walk, 7, then strikeouts, 6. This is insanity. Juan Soto's just gone to 17-1 in some places. We bring in Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. Jason, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Listen, I don't know if he gets voted MVP, but Juan Soto's the MVP, right? Period. Whether he's voted that or not.
I think a week ago, he was likely looking at a third, maybe a second place finish. I think after last night, and I'm not saying this just because I bet on it, I'm saying this because I try to follow the discourse around the MVP and the awards and what people are saying online, and, you know, I try to like, you know, mind the information, sort of. I think he has a much better chance today than he did a week ago, and the odds still don't necessarily reflect it, but he's probably the second favorite behind Harper right now.
Probably second favorite behind Harper. Let's get you to move just a little bit, Jason. You hit the Cardinals easy peasy yesterday as a dog against Milwaukee. The Cardinals could do no wrong. They've won 11 straight. They've made a mockery of the race for the number two wild card position in the National League. They might have it wrapped up by this weekend and be able to just chill the final week of the season. They go for the sweep of Milwaukee today. A lot of good day baseball, Giants and Dodgers included. Giants now really in the driver's seat in the NL West. I actually bet them to win the NL West at -102 faraway places yesterday before the games last night. Dodgers lose at Coors. Giants win once again. And now the Giants remaining 10 games versus the Dodgers remaining 10 games. The Giants schedule gets incrementally easier than that of the Dodgers. Obviously, the booby prize, you have to play the one-game wild card. Looks like it'll be against Adam Wainwright and the St. Louis Cardinals. You have any plays today?
Well, I bet the Cardinals again. I'm probably going to keep betting them until they lose. I don't agree that they could just take the last week off and secure the wild card, because they are technically still alive to win the division. They just have to win pretty much all of their games, maybe one or two losses. But winning the division is a big step up from a one-game wild card playoff. So they should absolutely not rest. They should try to win the division. They have 7 games left against the Cubs. How many games against the Cubs can you lose? 1, 2?
Wow. Can you imagine that? If they just rolled the West of the way, the rest of the way in and actually won the division. Still a long shot for that to happen, but interesting thought nonetheless. All right, this is available at Will. So, oh, anything besides the Cardinals? I'm sorry, I don't want to move on. Anything besides them today?
That's it. I mean, I bet the Giants, but I bet the Giants every day, so I wouldn't really say that.
I do too. What do you make of this? What do you make of the constant? Listen, whether the Giants end up with the best record in baseball and the NL West division in the end, we shall see. 10 more games to decide that. But what do you make of the daily market that so undervalues them, particularly against a team like the Padres, who we've seen again the implosion in the dugout with Machado and Tatis. Tatis, multiple reports, pouting. His teammates have become tired of it. The San Diego Padres are one game above 500. By the end of today, just to put that in perspective, by the end of today, they could have the same record as, wait for it, the Cleveland Indians. Think about how we feel about the Indians this year and how people have felt about the Padres. That's what we're talking about. And yet every time the Giants play them, it doesn't matter who they throw up. Giants are it seems like on a daily basis, so undervalued. What do you make of that undervaluing?
Well, just a good reminder, whether it's the Padres every day or Shohei Ohtani's MVP odds. So just a good reminder of sort of perception and recency bias and all these things that we take into account when we're handicapping, that we might, you know, not consciously realize what's going on. But these are just examples of those sorts of things. You know, the Padres have been the hype narrative popular team all season, and they get that like that, even when it's been obvious to people looking at them every day that they're not a great team. It's just you know, a lot of times we get caught up in the narrative machine, and you know, there's a lot of content that has to be produced, and people want to talk about the Chiefs, people want to talk about Vlad, people don't want to talk about who's winning.
Scherzer taking the hill for the Dodgers today, by the way, as north of a 250 favorite, let's call it minus 265, as the Dodgers try to keep pace with the Giants. But even if the Giants were to lose today and the Dodgers were to win, the Dodgers or the Giants did what they needed to do in this three-game spurt where they had to go to San Diego and the Dodgers got to go to Coors. And now it really, again, the final nine games will shift schedule-wise in favor of the Giants. All right, there's markets available at William Hill that are pretty new. Odds to win the AL wildcard game, odds to win the NL wildcard game. This is pretty interesting. In the American League, as we sit here today, Red Sox on a streak of their own. They've won seven in a row. They've got the number one position by a two-game margin over the Yankees. The Yankees move ahead of the Blue Jays by a half game last night into the number two wildcard position, but obviously those three teams jockeying. And may I just say that the Seattle Mariners, if they win today and sweep the A's, they will be two games out of the number two wild card position. And that just deserves a shout of its own, the fact that the Mariners are still in this. But this is odds to win the AL wild card game. So you got to anticipate which two teams will be in there. You got to anticipate who will be the home team, who will be pitching, and what the number will be for that game specifically. Is there a bet here for you in the American League? Because coming up in the National League, I really think there's a bet. But what do you think here? Red Sox plus 150, Jays plus 180, Yankees 2-1, and then the Mariners 20-1.
I'd have to think about it a little more. I haven't really looked at it. Not Blue Jays. The Red Sox are interesting because you're going to get a nice price on Chris Sale pitching, most likely. But no, I'd have to really think about it before I jumped in on that market. I haven't put any thought into that yet.
But I think you're on the right track. The fact is the Red Sox, if you was, you know, again, you got to assume here, and that's always dicey. But if the Red Sox end up with a home game, and it will be Chris Sale plus 150, no matter who they play, what a price that would be. Odds to win the NL wildcard game. The Dodgers right now, again, two games behind the Giants with 10 to play. They're at minus 130 to win the wild card game. You got to assume if the Dodgers are hosting the wild card game, they're going to be way north of minus 130. And in the case of the Cardinals, who you have to sort of anticipate now will be the road team in the wild card game with Adam Wainwright, there's no shot you get the plus 200. Don't you just play the Dodgers and Cardinals now? Both of them?
Yeah, I mean, if you're setting up positions for the game, that's not terrible. I started thinking about the Dodgers wild card a little bit and what the potential prices would be. And I'm pretty convinced that if the Dodgers end up in the wild card card game, just from a betting perspective, there's going to be value on the dog in that game. It's just going to be a flood of Dodgers money. I'm not rushing to bet the Dodgers, even though I know I'm going to get a good number there, because I know I'm going to end up betting the dog in the wild card game, just from a price perspective.
Man, I can't wait. I actually do think you bet the Dodgers and Cardinals right now in that market, both sides. You can only win is my thinking. Of course, I'm a guy who thinks the Giants are going to win the division and that the Cardinals will secure the number two wild card position. But if you believe that, that would be an interesting way to play that. But I agree with everything you're saying. I think there will be a flood of Dodgers money come wild card game, if that is in fact the wild card game next week. Jason, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully next week, Juan Soto's half the price he is now.
That's exactly right. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia on Twitter, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. We'll come back. Paul Carr, who's a Dolphins fan, will get his thoughts on Tua versus Jacoby Brissett and Premier League picks. Numbers Game, Visa, and the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you. I always mess that up at that point. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the lock of the year. Simply place the $10 moneyline wager on either Carolina or Houston tonight, and if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Darnold, Mills, Thursday Night Football. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of the offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets if either Carolina or Houston scores a touchdown. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Skill Alexander, Jeffrey Parlay is here as well, producer number 8, producer number 5, Grover Cleveland. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I always say I appreciate the feedback, but I really do because it's so part of the show and it makes it so enjoyable for us to get that feedback. This is Fadi Bahura. He says 80% of teasers out there will lose if Carolina somehow loses. You're right, Fadi. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Yeah, you're right. Carolina is tied into everything for, I'm sure, a whole bunch of folks. Stringfellow Hawk. Can we get a crash course in how teasers work? You know what, Stringfellow? Thank you for asking. Because sometimes I'm better at this on primetime action where we'll stop and we'll sort of explain some betting 101 things. But on a numbers game, the audience tends to be a little more advanced, so I don't do it as much. But yes, teasers are simply putting together two or more legs in one bet. So here at the South Point, for instance, you can have anywhere between 2 to 8 legs strung together, and the trade-off is that you get to move each of those legs either 6, 6.5, or 7 points. And associated with the number of legs you have and the amount of points you're moving it, the odds shift as well. The catch is you have to hit all of those for the bet to cash. So let's take the easiest example, 2-point 6-team teaser. If I do a Carolina-Arizona teaser, I would tease Carolina down through the 7 and 3 so that you're getting Carolina tonight at -1.5 right now in a 6-point teaser, -2, it's 8. So it would be Carolina -2. Same thing for Arizona. You tease them down through the 7 and 3, just using this as an example. So you would get Arizona laying fewer than 3 points, and if both Arizona then cover that now muted spread and Carolina does as well tonight, then you would cash your ticket. -120 would be the typical juice on something like that these days. So that's what a teaser is. I hope that makes sense. Okay. I don't understand that tweet. Josh. At the real Josh 05, I was thinking going all Ravens when I mapped it out. I couldn't find another week I'd want to use them. That game scares me a little bit. Ravens at Detroit this week for Survivor. He's talking.
I plan on saving Baltimore when they host Cincinnati because they own that franchise's soul at the moment.
Johnny Millionaire, you know, Gil, how you always talk about too cool for school. I tried to alert a betting legend of my theory that Mad Max would pull a Rick Sutcliffe 1984 Cubs. So far, 9-0, but he won't even bite on first 5 -0.5 a run because it's too square, he says. Isn't it about cashing tickets? I'm with you, Johnny Millionaire. Too cool for school bothers me more than anything in the world in betting. People love to tell you how smart they are. Sometimes what people think is square, sometimes it's the best bet out there. Okay. Oh, Wilkman wants DraftKings to give a parlay option on last undefeated and winless. wants them to allow you to string those together. Tommy Rowe, Jags versus Dolphins is the 9:30 London game as well. They seem to always play well in London. Not so fast on the Jags being the last winless team. The Jags, that's their home away from home. They play there every year. Monetarily, it works out better for that franchise to actually play a game in London than it does in Jacksonville, at least up till this year, before they had Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. But that's how sad that was economically for the franchise. But yes, they do play in London every year. Speaking of the Dolphins, let's go to Paul Carr. He's in Topeka, Kansas. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. He is our Premier League expert. Your record in the Premier League this year, Paul, is?
I think it's 11-4 so far on the show.
11-4. You were 10-2 before last week. You went 1-2, but your one was a +180. So whoop-de-doo.
You got to get one.
Yeah.
That's the one to get.
That was the one to get. So you only end up losing juice in the process. Before we get your Premier League picks this week, let's talk about your Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, the old fractured rib. We thought it was a pain tolerance thing. Now we're finding out it's fractured. So he definitely won't play this week. We'll find out what he can do moving forward. How do you feel about that? From Tua to Jacoby Brissett, is this like a seismic shift for you? Or are you like, you know what? Maybe not so bad.
I'll be optimistic and say, look, from what we saw of Tua the first couple games, what we've seen of Jacoby Brissett in the past. Brissett, I think, is a very good backup quarterback. I was happy the Dolphins signed him. He gets a full week of practice. I don't know that the immediate drop-off is going to be there. Long-term, I think it's an issue. You know, obviously, if Tua misses, I'm not a doctor. I'm just speculating that it's multiple weeks. He got fractured ribs. Those don't heal quickly. That hurts his development, you know. So by week six, let's say he comes back, he's not where you want him to be in week six. He's still stuck in week two or three. So, yeah, in the short term, I don't think it's the end of the world. In the long term, it's obviously a bad thing for the Dolphins trying to figure out their quarterback for the long term.
Two things. One, you're not a doctor. That's unacceptable.
It's one of the shortcomings of my life.
Two, I'm with you, man. Like, I know it's very cool to sort of, Jacoby Brissett was terrible last week. He was. He wasn't very good. But you're right. Like, now he gets a full week to practice. And Jacoby Brissett, I keep saying this, and it's very strange. Like, when he had that year after Andrew Luck with the Colts, he was super, like, he had them, the Colts, like, leading in the fourth quarter 12 times that year. Now, they blew it many times. But I'm saying he's, like, as far as backup quarterbacks go, he's pretty competent.
Absolutely.
But I think your point is right. I think in the short term, it's fine. But the Dolphins have to figure some stuff out about too. And I think we're no closer to getting him, understanding what Tua's level is. Although Michael Lombardi would say, we know what Tua's level is already, you know. So
he hates Tua.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't, he would say he doesn't hate Tua. He said yesterday he hates the perception that people have of Tua.
Right. Understood.
To be fair, All right, we're here for the Premier League picks, Paul. What do you got? Let's start with the first.
We got a big game this week. Chelsea, Man City.
Go ahead with your picks.
Yeah, I was saying these are the two best teams in the Premier League, the two favorites at least to win the title right now, which I think we'll touch on. And this game is in Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and it's basically a coin flip. You get about the same either side to win this game. I like Chelsea in this game. They beat City three times last season, and Chelsea's better now. They have Romelu Lukaku, who, it's one of those things where on paper, they were missing a center forward who could score goals. And they went and got a center forward who could score goals, and their center forward has scored goals. Like, it's worked out perfectly. You know, sometimes it looks good on paper and it doesn't work out on the field, but this has worked out great. He leads the team with four goals in all competitions this season. And they're just better than Man City right now. And they're at home. City's underlying numbers look better, but Chelsea's are skewed by playing down a man against Liverpool for a half. City's got a lot of injuries issues in the back line and central midfield where Chelsea can really exploit those. So I like Chelsea. I think they're a better team. I was a little surprised this is such an even matchup from a price standpoint. So I play Chelsea to win at plus 170 here at home against Man City.
All right, 4:30 a.m. Pacific tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. Eastern for that one. Chelsea plus 170. And then subsequent to that, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, your next two.
Yeah, so this is, let's see, we're going Everton Norwich. I'm going to play over 2.5 here, minus 115. They played 10 games combined. Eight of those have had 3+ goals, and the underlying numbers of expected goals and such are right in line with that. It's not super fluky so far. I was kind of surprised the price was only minus 115. I think that's pretty good here. But Everton scores a lot of goals. Norwich concedes a lot of goals. Their defense is not very good. They give up really good shots. Norwich is the favorite to get relegated. And they've had a really tough schedule in their defense. But again, Everton is a cut or two above. They've done well against teams that are, you know, below them in perception or in the table this season. They've got two goal wins over Southampton, Burnley, and Brighton. So I think there's going to be goals here, two or three for Everton. Norwich might nick one or two as well. I like the over 2.5, minus 115 for Everton, Norwich.
And then also the over in Leeds, West Ham.
Yeah, this one you're paying more juice, minus 150 for over 2.5. Leeds didn't get to the over last weekend against Newcastle, but the chances were there. If you watch that game, could easily have been three or four goals in the first half, but they got stuck on two. Again, 7 of 10 games combined between these teams have had 3+ goals. 8 of 10 have had at least 2.7 expected goals. West Ham takes really good shots. They give up really good shots. And we've talked about Leeds a few times. They play kind of this track meet back and forth style that generates good chances generally for both teams. Leeds is also missing defenders for this game, which is not good if you're trying to prevent goals. So good news for West Ham there. And West Ham should have Mikel Antonio. He's their striker up top. He didn't play in the League Cup midweek, so he should be available for this game. So I expect this to be another Leeds back and forth game. Give me the over 2.5 at minus 150 there.
All right, so Chelsea plus 170 over Man City. That is early, early in the morning tomorrow. And then a couple overs, Everton, Norwich City over 2.5, and then Leeds, West Ham over 2.5. That one minus 150, but always check around and shop around for the best possible price. Paul, will you stay for a few minutes after the break? Because I just want to get your final thoughts on how the futures market has narrowed and if there is a bet to be made for the Premier League title itself.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Paul Carr, everybody, from the Expected Value podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. He plies his trade over at True Media Networks on a daily basis. We'll get Paul's answer to that and Unscripted with the Crack Man next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.